You know. A little more maturity, church. What's wrong with you guys? We went from holy, holy, holy to baby shark. Man, that's brutal. There was actually a reason, because we're going to talk a little bit here soon about babies. But until then, nobody act like babies. Pay attention, right? Because the kids will be over shortly. We're going to have some fun. We've been talking about a lot of mushy stuff around here, right? The bride of Christ. We kind of wrapped up that chat last week where we talked about the annoying bride, right? And God's maybe call to us as the church, the annoying bride. Now, I'm not saying that, let me maybe just clarify real quick. If you're a guest with us, I don't usually call out brides for being annoying, but it kind of fit and it made for a lot of fun counseling sessions this week for me. So it was really, really great. You know what I mean? Got to talk to way more ladies than I thought I would this week at our church, you know, like, hey, can we make a time to chat, Mr. Annoying Bride Guy, right? But it wasn't really about brides being annoying. It was more about brides being filled with joy and excitement about getting married, right? And they really weren't annoying brides. They were just excited brides who talk all the time about weddings and grooms and all that stuff, right? And Jesus calls us the bride of Christ. And so we ought to be people who are talking about his return, the great reunion, the wedding feast of the Lamb, right? And this groom, Jesus, who has this awesome invitation for us to be in relationship with him, we ought to be a little excited about that. I'm not saying we should be annoying. Some of us can't help it. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how it works. The excited bride of Christ talks about his return, talks about the groom. Man, it's all about family and friends, but not just that. It's also very public, right? Hey, I'm following Jesus. You can come to the party. You should come. In fact, you're on the guest list, right? And we talked about who's on your guest list for eternity. Do you even have a guest list? Or is it I guess somebody will invite them list. No, it needs to be a guest list, right? That you, Zane, you're going to get your moment, bro. Man, you tell these guys they're going to get dedicated and they get to come up front and all they want is the spotlight, Austin. Typical Blake guy wanting to be up front, right, Derek? Yeah, not so much. So the Bride of Christ has been a really fun talk. If you've missed that the last few weeks, definitely go online, check out some stuff. There's been some cool things with the Galilean wedding and all kinds of stuff about what it looks like to be the bride of Christ. Today, I want to take a minute, and it's maybe an excuse to segue into some child dedication stuff, perhaps, and talk a little bit about this idea of the family of God. The church is the bride of Christ, absolutely. But the church is also called the family of God. And listen, at White Rock, there's a lot of stuff we probably don't do well, like announcement time, or details, or communication. But one thing we do really well here is we love and we are family, because that's what the church is supposed to be. God has called us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We're invited into this awesome experience called family. And man, too much of the Church of Jesus Christ has become performance and show and presentation. And you go and you find your parking spot and you sit in your seat and you watch the show and you leave. But man, you miss that you're invited into relationship with God and his screwed up goofball family too, right? It's a beautiful thing. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 2:19, consequently, because of what Jesus has done on the cross and given us opportunity to be forgiven for our sins and made in relationship with him, sons and daughters, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, aliens, weirdos on the outside. You're all insiders, fellow citizens of God's people and members of his household. I think we miss how huge it is that the God of all creation, the King of kings and Lord of lords, says to you, hey, I want you not to show up at my church and give me some money and go home and punch some boxes about being religious-y. I want you in my family. I want you to be part of my household, right? We're talking a little bit about painting, right? And you maybe get to do some painting in God's household. In my household, you get to help with the chores. You get to do some work too, right? We're part of this family and God has called us. Now, we don't have the roof in this family, just so you know. We changed that out this week. Well done, Andrew. But God has called us to be part of his family, his household. Check this out. In 1 John 3, the very first part of the very first verse says this incredible statement. Check this out. It says this: see what great love the Father has lavished on us. Check out this crazy love of God that we should be called, wait for it, children of God. And in case you missed it, he goes on to say, and that is what we are, children in God's family, part of his family, adopted, grafted in, didn't deserve it, whatever. We got made, picked, chosen, invited, brought in to the family of God. So you belong. We're listening to the FPU stuff, the Financial Peace University stuff, right? What's the big marketing technique? Belonging. Oh, you belong. You belong. Well, guess what, guys? I don't know if you belong driving a new Corvette or if you belong in the $400,000 house club, but you belong in God's family. You have a place because he loves you. His crazy, ridiculous love that he's lavished on us, that he says, you're not just my servant. You're not just somebody who works at my house. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I invite you into that relationship. And man, that kind of love evokes some action out of us, right? Like, how do you love God and then just like spit in his face? You don't, right? Because man, you have such a sense of gratitude and thankfulness. That's how we enter his courts with thanksgiving. Come before him with praise, right? Because we're thankful that we get to go to Thanksgiving dinner at his house, right? We're glad we're part of the family. And that motivates us for the actions that we take. We're not motivated by guilt. We're not motivated by fear. Not motivated by judgment. We're motivated by love because we're part of the family. In our family, we love. And that's how we live, right? Pretty crazy cool stuff. Children of God. Household of God. Family of God. We all the time trade out religion for this incredible gift God gives us of relationship. God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want a religion with us. He doesn't want a corporate agreement and contractual obligations and rules that we follow. He wants relationship with us, a relationship that's growing and changing as we mature, right? I'm making my way through like seventh grade right now status of maturity, but I'm moving the right direction in growth, right? We're all trying to grow and learn. And in this relationship with God, we're figuring out more each day. And maybe we make some mistakes along the way, but we continue in relationship pursuing this thing that God has called us to. Well, this morning, I want to talk about this for 2 seconds with you, this father relationship thing that we have with our Heavenly Father. And make no mistake, Jesus said it, right? This is how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, for those of you who don't know what the King James is, or you were born sometime in the last 70 years, the reality is this. This is not an art project in heaven. It just means he is there, right? Our Father who art in heaven, who is in heaven, your name is great, right? We know the Lord's Prayer all the way. Silas, you're going to get your turn too, bro. Jeesh. Man, a bunch of crybabies in church again today. You know what I mean, Jen? Usually it's a junior high row, but this day, it's, you know, the shorter guys. God is inviting us into relationship to be our heavenly Father, right? And as you think about the father relationship, now let me just say this, guarantee there's probably some of you in here who would score your father status relationship somewhere between a 0 and less than, right? On a scale of 1 to 10. Maybe you didn't even know your dad. Maybe you had a horrible father experience. Let me just let you know this little tidbit here. God designed parenting. God designed fatherhood and motherhood, but he handed it off to fallible, sinful people who don't always get it right. The number of times I've had to say to Josiah or to Jed, hey man, your dad was wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't handle that right. The 2 times in the 22 years of Josiah I had to do that were really hard on me. Maybe it was 2 times this morning, I don't really remember. But we don't get stuff perfect, man. We're just people trying to be more and more like our Heavenly Father, right? Well, God has tasked fathers and mothers with some important roles. And I want to take just a second and use this simple acronymy kind of 3 letters to talk about it. Anybody know what this means, TCP? Good. I looked it up because I was like, is that PCP or TCP? I'm not sure which, but I can't use all those. You know what I mean? I got to watch what I use in church. So Tracy, I'm going to do this in honor of you because you know what TCP means, right? Transmission Control Protocol, right? For all of you tech nerds out there, huh? Anybody remember that phrase from like a class you took for like 10 minutes and got a B on it because you didn't remember it then? Okay, anyways, it's something about the internet and communication, two-way street stuff. So maybe this is, you know, God transmission of a little bit of truth to us on the receiving end. Okay, but if nobody knows what this is, then I don't know why I wasted my time with that. Okay, TCP, here we go. I'm gonna use these letters to just touch on a couple father things that our Heavenly Father taught us and that he entrusts to us. And moms, you can fit in this a little bit as well. Fathers are to teach and to train their children. Scripture says to us in Proverbs 29:29, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Do you know what that means? You start training when they're children, right? And as you train your children and they learn the ways of the Lord, when they're older, they may hit some bumps, but they tend not to stray away from what they've learned to be truth and foundational in their life. Scripture says in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, I don't know why it doesn't say, mothers, don't provoke your children to anger, but it sort of singles out dads. Jed, this is ridiculous, right? When does dad ever provoke his son to anger? Pshh. That's a head shake of affirmation that you agree. Yeah. Listen, man, that's the only kid right there I can spank right in the middle of a sermon. So don't make this awkward for any of us, right? I'm just kidding, man. He can spank me, man. He hit 6 foot this week. We're not gonna do that, right? Never mind. Never mind, Jed. We good? Okay. So the truth is that dads, you gotta be careful, because you might sometimes go a little intense and you might provoke your kids when you're really trying to train them and teach them. And sometimes as a dad, I've been there and had to say, hey man, I'm sorry, that was a little more intense than I meant. You were trying. I didn't see it because I've blinded my objective or trying to get you to the destination. But we need to be gentle in how we teach and train. But don't make any mistake about this. This doesn't say mothers. And here's why I think it's important. Not even the first part so much as the second part. Because most guys in the church world tend to think, well, you know, I'm supposed to go provide for my family and meet the financial needs. Mom is supposed to nurture the children and teach the children and train the children. The problem with that idea, and it's not, I mean, listen, Jamie's way better at this than I am. The problem with the idea of that being the mom's sole job and not responsibility for the father, the problem, what is the problem? Maybe there is no problem. Maybe we just go with that, right? The problem is it says dads do it. And the idea that it's a mom's job, well, that's not biblical. And listen, we've been doing this stand thing in January, talking about standing on the foundation of the truth of God's word. And we're calling ourselves as a church to be strong in the truth of God's word and to say, hey, man, this is our anchor. This is where we stand, right? If it's not in God's word, we don't do it. If it's in God's word, we're faithful to it, whatever that looks like. God's word is ridiculously clear. Dads, teach and train your children in the way of the Lord. Instruct them, right? In fact, if we could go over to Deuteronomy where we're talking about God's commandments and he says, teach them. He's talking to the fathers again, just FYI. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down or when you get up. Let me just say to you, dads, if you're not in the middle of that beautiful morning conversation with your kids, right? Jed gets 20 minutes of drive time with his dad every school day because I work at the place he's going to school and we get to talk about stuff and we get pretty deep. I'm just kidding. We do not get deep. I try so hard, don't I? And I get like, wait, I'll wake up today and talk to you later, Dad, right? Or I'm zoned out thinking about something else. But my dad taught me a long time ago that you seize the opportunity while you're in this car to have a conversation with your kids. You seize this opportunity while you're at Menards, because we were always at Menards, to talk to your kids. You seize this opportunity around the dinner table. You seize this opportunity on the ball field or on a walk in the neighborhood or throwing the football around or shooting hoops, whatever it is. You seize the opportunity to work Jesus and his message and his truth and God's foundational principles of how we do life into your conversations all the time. Dads, that's your job. You can't do a job and come home and not do your real eternal job, right? Got to engage with our sons and our daughters. We have to instruct and teach and train. Now, moms, you're not exempt from this at all. Scripture is full of the mother and the nurturing dynamic and the way the moms care and comfort and do so many different pieces and are also called to be people who instruct and walk in truth and manage their household well. But sometimes the dads are busy thinking that's a mom's job, and it's just not, just so you know, it's not just a mom's job. Teach and train. The C, let's just throw this out here, and I just said these words, care and comfort. This is kind of an important thing that fathers are called to do. We don't think so, because that's, you know, the mom stuff. We're called to rub dirt in it, right? Or on it, not in it, my bad. Rub dirt on it. Sorry, I've got that wrong. We just grind some dirt right into that sucker. That's how you stop the bleeding. But we can kind of be a little tough in our version. And let me throw another scene here just for fun. All right, good. Encourage. So we caught that. I like that, Gary. That's good. Just stay with me on that to see. That counts. So God has called us to be people who care, who comfort our kids, and who encourage, right? That word encourage means put courage into, right? That's the biblical picture. Put courage into. Your kids ought to walk away from a conversation with you feeling like they're more courageous and not more beat up and like a failure. That's a big thing, dads and moms. Sometimes we can critique our kids. I didn't put critique up there. Care, comfort, courage, and critique. Now we'll leave that one off. We're called to encourage, right? Scripture says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Do you know what that means? It means that there's an assumption there that fathers have what? Compassion, care, comfort, encouragement for their kids, not just driving and pushing and pressing, right? And then P, provide and protect. To provide and protect. Scripture says in 1 Timothy, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. It's kind of convicting. Do we have a responsibility, fathers and mothers, to provide, to meet the provision, the needs of our children? Do we meet their safety and security needs that they have? And here's the cool thing about how God gave us parents. A mom and a dad both bring a couple different angles to that, right? The mom maybe is, it depends, right? It could be a little bit different, but you might have a mom, you know, trying to keep them safe and a dad trying to shove them off a cliff and see if he can bounce, like whatever that looks like, right? There's some tensions in how God raised us or kind of molded and shaped us and what we bring to the table in parenting. But make no mistake, your kids need both those angles. Your kids need both those perspectives to help shape the whole that is who they are and who God's trying to mold them and shape them into. And let me say this about this idea here, training, teaching, care, comfort, encourage, provide, protect. God does not call us to do anything he's not willing to do himself. Our Heavenly Father teaches and trains. He instructs and he guides and he coaches. He's given us his word. He's given us his people, his Holy Spirit to help speak life and wisdom and guidance and direction into how we do life so that we're not out there guessing and wondering and hoping and throwing our hands in the air. But if we will follow his ways, we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He takes care of all the other stuff. He does those things. Care, comfort, encouragement. Those are created by him. Like he does that for his people. He meets our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He is compassionate. He brings us under his wings of protection and safety and security. My dad used to always say, there's no safer place in the world than being in the center of God's will. And I always love that because I was like, you know, well, what if God calls me to work with AIDS victims in downtown Czechoslovakia, which isn't a place anymore. You know, whatever that was, I was thinking about it a long time ago. And he was like, man, that's a better and safer place to be than anywhere else in the world. That's probably true. It's probably true. Because if you're right in the center of what God wants you to do, man, who else better to protect you than our Heavenly Father? And if you try to chase and run, you might find yourself swallowed by a big fish. See Jonah. Okay. And providing and protecting, man, it's who he is. It's what he does. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Now, here's what's really cool, I think. Jed and Josiah did not get a vote. They got stuck in my family. They just got stuck there, right? They can fight it. They can resist it. Maybe they have. I won't tell you the whole story. But they're just stuck being one of the weights, man. This is your dad, for better, for worse, right? Maybe for worse. But they had no choices, right? And that's cool. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I wouldn't swap them out. You know, I've thought about it, looked at some options, but well, I'm not going to swap them out, right? Just like they probably have for me. No, not at all, man. I love my kids more than I love anybody. I'm sorry. I love you guys too. I don't mean to belittle that. We have a good relationship, us. But I love those guys more than I love anybody else on the planet. I mean, I love their mom. That's how they got here, but I could tell you that story later. But the reality is, I love these guys. I love them. They're my kids, right? I love them. They're precious to me. But you know what's really fun about Ryan and Sarah's dynamic is Jason and Haley, they didn't, well, I guess maybe they didn't have choices either legally now that I think about it, but Ryan and Sarah had choices, right? And Ryan and Sarah spent the last 3 years trying to adopt these two little squirts. And I will forever say this, it's so cool to be children in somebody's family. So, so cool, 100%. But man, there's something pretty special about getting adopted. It's not that you weren't wanted when you came biologically, you were. But man, to be wanted when that's the only way you get in. What a beautiful picture. And Ephesians and Romans and throughout scripture, we have this image of God adopting us as sons and daughters. He wants you in his family. He came. Jesus came, and Ryan, Jesus did the 3-year program, right? I mean, he ministered for 3 years before he died on the cross in his earthly ministry. He paid the price. He went to all the meetings, met with all the social workers and the Roman government, right? They killed him. He paid the price so that we could be in his family. And that's an amazing picture that he has of the love for us that is in God and then open to everyone. What a cool thing, man. If you don't know that love, man, I would love to talk to you more about it because, dude, he loves you. Not because of anything you've done, because I mean, you're probably like me and you're not worth a whole lot. I'm just saying, I might be the most messed up dude in this place, but he loves all of us equally. And we're all invited into a relationship with him to have our sins forgiven and washed clean from all the rebellion in our hearts, right? And all of us are guilty of stuff. We know it. But man, God loves you so much and wants a relationship with you. And that's open to you because you are precious to him. Psalm 127:3 says this, children are a gift from the Lord. And that's true. And yesterday was pretty cool. Is Renee in here yet with the kids? Is she still coming, Derek? She's not here? Okay. So Renee and Derek had a cool baby shower. Thank you. Yep, good. Good work. Dax is still changing diapers, so he knows all these words. Good job, man. Good job. They had a baby shower yesterday, and if you know Derek and Renee's adventure and story, it's been a really long and challenging process with a lot of stuff and a lot of heartache along the way, but what a cool celebration yesterday, and we're going to have even more fun celebrating when that little turkey gets here, but God has been really good in that. We have other people in our church family that are wrestling with things like infertility and what does that look like, and you know, some people talking adoption and fostering and all kinds of different dynamics, man, but to just stop and say, children are an incredible gift from the Lord. You realize that and you see it. And if you don't appreciate that, talk to people who are struggling to try to find a way to get to be a mom or a dad. Because man, when you become a mom or a dad, changes your whole perspective. You don't know what it means to be a father until you're a father. I'll never know what it means to be a mother, actually. Now I say it like that, right? It's true. But what a picture that is of who our Heavenly Father is. And in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 14, this is a great part, man. The disciples got in trouble. You know what I mean? I don't know if you had a brother like me, but Christy and I sometimes would be like, Adam got in trouble. Adam, and that's wrong. I know that's wrong as a brother, but it was kind of fun. Hey, the disciples, right? The guys who got to do all these miraculous things and they were awesome, they got in trouble with Jesus because people were bringing their little kids to Jesus to have him pray for them or, you know, pray over the little kids. And the disciples were like, get away, children. This is adult religious-y stuff, right? Whatever it was. And Jesus got mad at him. And he's like, whoa. The Bible says Jesus rebuked him and said, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for such belongs. Man, I wish people would stop changing translations over and over. It is hard to read that. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. There we go. Is that how you memorize it, Rusty? No, definitely not me either. But children are a gift from the Lord. Children are welcome. And if you've ever been around here for VBS, we're getting ready for some VBS action. We have this cool idea for a video game VBS, like Mario Insanity, right? We're going to need some people to dress up in turtles and shove them around the sidewalks. And we're trying to invest in some go-karts. I don't know if that's going to work with our insurance, but we'll talk about that later. But we have some cool ideas for Vacation Bible School because we love to get a bunch of kids together and talk about Jesus and celebrate all the amazing things that God wants to do for them and how precious they are to him. So we're going to move into this time of child dedication, and it might get a little tricky around here. I want you to know, though, parents, if you've got littles, I want you to know this truth, man. You're not just changing diapers, you're changing destinies. That'll make a really great promo for the nursery volunteer team. So if you want to be a part of it and want to change destinies, because we also have to change some diapers too, just so you know. Well, I'm going to invite Jamie to sneak up here, and all the kids are going to come in, right, Derek? And join us for this child dedication. And hey, Renee, there's a really cool book right there. On the top of that thing, it says Minister's Manual. It's like a mechanical book for pastors. Which bolt goes where? Thank you. Perfect. Okay. So, Jane, do you want to grab the mic at all? Actually, I need you to kind of hold the mic. That's the deal. Yeah. Perfect. The kids can kind of spread up, but we're going to... We need a bigger church, everybody. Thank you. There's a phrase about the best laid plans of men come to ruin. Is that how that works? Well, we have a really great plan that I'm watching kind of shift just a little bit. So we're going to make it work over here. This is going to be perfect. All right. So here's how this happened, just so you know. We have some families that want to do a child dedication. And then it kind of got to be like, how do we work it all out? How do we, you know, do like week after week after week? And then in typical White Rock fashion, as Cash pointed out during the announcements, we were like, let's just do a big party. So today is going to kind of have a little child dedication party theme. We got a bunch of kids over here hanging out. You guys ready to watch all this stuff and be super good? Good. Chris, I blame you if it doesn't work, okay? Just so you know. Okay. So I'm going to let you hold that actually. So here's the thing about child dedication, just so you know what we're doing. Some churches do infant baptisms, and I'm not saying there's something horrible about that. We believe baptism is a decision to repent from our sin and choose faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not that a little infant can't make a good decision. I've just never seen it because they mostly just yell and scream and, you know, mess their diapers up. So we don't really believe in infant baptism other than like it's a nice symbolic thing to recognize Jesus and the importance that he is in this life of the child. But we do something called baby dedications, which is really moms and dads bringing their kids before the Lord, as Mary and Joseph did, to present their children to the Lord. And then we pray over them and their family. We do some cool stuff like that. You guys making more room? Is that what you're doing? You guys just left Cash sitting in the front. Cash, you better go with those guys. I mean, that's... Okay. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and have... Let's have the Williamsons sneak up here if we can, because you guys are seasoned pros, and this will work great-ish. So we live streamed some stuff. We're going to cut the live stream on a couple of these, so just in case you go back and you're like, what happened there? But we're going to have the Williamsons come with Silas and Matthew. And if you're a guest, you're invited to stand symbolically with us. But we invite our church family to stand as a vote of yes, I will stand in support to be part of the family of God, the encouragement and the support and the strength as moms and dads try to navigate life with these little squirts, leading them to follow Jesus. So if you're willing to be part of that adventure, we invite you to stand now as an acknowledgement of that. And then we'll pray over everybody and let you get out of this sweat box today. So it's a little crazy up here, but maybe we'll do this. How about we let our families sneak out into the entryway and you guys can stand out there and fist bump people on the way out because we got to give you a little congratulatory fist bump. Does that work, Joel? Yeah, why don't you guys do that before the chaos? How about a round of applause for, All right, well, as they're making their way out, let's have this prayer together in closing. Father, thank you so much for your incredible love for us. Thank you that we are adopted as children through Jesus Christ as we've made a decision to follow you and confess our sin and accept you as Lord. Thank you for the privilege of family. I pray you would help us as a congregation to stand and to love and to be gracious and kind and truthful as we navigate life with these families and their little ones. Thank you for the gift of family and for your incredible love. I pray you would watch over, protect us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a great day in the Lord. Congratulations.